Thanks a lot for coming out. Let me make sure I'm. Can people hear me in the back? Is that okay? It was just over 2 years ago. I checked my notes about that I was last here dealing with what was that kind of attack on free speech, the efforts of the administration to impose a free speech zone and restrictions on time, place, and manner, and even prior review of all pamphlets and publications that would be allowed on campus. So it was really quite an overwhelming and amazing kind of policy that that we were dealing with. And it was an example of how students and faculty can unite and make their voice known and speak out against unjust policies and speak out for the kinds of policies they want. And I certainly think that's important for people to do. I would note I'm the editor of Illinois Academe for the Illinois chapter of the American Association of University Professors, which you can find. I have it at the front and the back. As you leave, you can certainly pick up a copy and read about some of the concerns across the state about academic freedom. But I do think this is an important national issue. We really are at a crossroads in terms of the idea of rights. And this attack from Wisconsin is part of a kind of corporate attack that we see across the nation, on college campuses as well in the larger society. And I think some people may not see the connections between the attacks on unions in Wisconsin and the issue of free speech, but they really are two parts of the same kind of attack. I just published a book about Rush Limbaugh. And if you listen to Rush, he hates academia with almost the same venom he has towards unions. Academia is part of the four corners of deceit, and unions, of course, are the thugs with a crowbar about to beat you up. And taken from the perspective of corporate America, they really are both enemies. They are forces fighting against the corporatization of our society, and of course, the union struggle against corporate America and fight against that has been going on for a century. And in academia, it is in some ways a more recent phenomenon, what I call the Walmart University. And it's something that really extends to the idea not just of corporations having increasing influence over higher education, but the very models of corporate America being brought in to run universities, hierarchical, top-down control of universities. That is really the corporate model. And a book I published a couple of years ago called Patriotic Correctness, I had a chapter on the Walmart University, and there's a great quote that sort of embodies this ideology from the president of Philander Smith College in Arkansas, who justified the firing of a tenured professor by saying, quote, "As a leader, just like all other CEOs, my authority cannot be challenged." And that is the ideology that we see that is going on and why it's so important to have resistance in terms of unions fighting against what corporations do in the working world, as well as what goes on in the academic world. And we are really talking about, with both unions and with academia, fundamental First Amendment rights that are under challenge. For unions, it's the First Amendment right of association, the right to form a union. And in academia, it's the right of academic freedom, the First Amendment right to speak out. And what we're seeing is not just what we've seen. I'm a student of the history of academic freedom. What we've seen for forever, since the start of institutions like unions and academia, which are the attempts to attack and bust unions, the attempts to attack academic freedom. But we are in some ways seeing something more fundamental, which is attack on the ideas of union, the possibility of unions, the rights, the fundamental rights are what are being attacked, not just in practice being assaulted, but those very rights are under assault. And that's what happened in Wisconsin. It was not just about trying to bust the unions or trying to force concessions, which they already had. It was about trying to get rid of the right to unionize. And what we're seeing in courts increasingly, as well as in a lot of people running universities, is the attempt to get rid of the idea of academic freedom. And that's something that is fundamental that the AUP, since it was founded in 1915, has fought to establish. And it took a long time before actually the idea of a legal right of academic freedom was recognized. The Supreme Court finally in 1967 issued a ruling that declared that academic freedom was a special concern of the First Amendment. And that sort of very strong language asserting the right of academic freedom has been gradually stripped away in the 40 years since then in cases like Garcetti and hopefully Peter Kirstein and some of the others. Kirstein, other speakers will talk a little bit more about some of these cases, or you can look them up. But these cases where judges, and to a certain extent the Supreme Court under a more conservative ideology, have really taken back and tried to get rid of the right of academic freedom. And that really makes an important point, which is that we can't necessarily rely on courts or rely on politicians to protect our freedoms. We have to rely on ourselves. We have to form movements on university campuses and in the larger political world, sometimes to fight for legal rights, sometimes to try and fight for these political institutions that are being taken over by corporate interests, but also to try and fight within academia, to create our own institutions, to make sure that there are these traditions of shared governance. And shared governance is an important point I want to focus on, because a lot of people may not understand what it means. It's not quite as sexy as academic freedom or free speech, but it is in many ways just as essential, and in some ways related to what unions do. And it's the idea that institutions should not be run simply by their managers, that every institution, particularly the faculty at a university, should be involved in managing what goes on in the university. They should share in the governance. And in more recent years, you've seen the idea of students sharing in the governance. The idea of student government really grew out of the 1960s. And the idea that students should have a say in their own education, the idea that the AUP has fought for from the start, that faculty should be a part of running the institution, that they shouldn't just be taking orders, they shouldn't be mere employees, they should be part of the governance, deciding the policies and the fundamental beliefs of the institution. In many ways, unions are based upon the same idea. It's the idea that employees should get together and negotiate with their employers for the kinds of practices that go on in the institutions, in the corporate workspace. And that is fundamentally opposed to the idea that the bosses determine everything. And that's why in Wisconsin, they're willing to let you negotiate on wages, but absolutely nothing else. It's because it's an attempt to crush this idea of shared governance, this idea of democratic institutions that are not simply run in a hierarchical way by whoever has the most money. And this kind of assault on unions and academia also merges together in a lot of the attacks on academic freedom, which have been aimed at particularly those who are in academia who are involved in the labor movement. Those who are trying to organize and unionize institutions of higher education are among the most vulnerable faculty. And they're the ones who often get targeted, sometimes for other reasons. But really, if you want to get fired from a university, I would suggest that you try and start a union there, because it's a very good way to do it. It is among the really vulnerable areas, and there's all kinds of cases I talk about in my book, Patriotic Correctness, about cases where professors have found themselves suddenly out of a job because they tried to unionize, or because they defended the rights of union workers on their campus, or the rights of graduate students to unionize. I'm actually going to talk about the rights of graduate students to unionize at a panel at the Illinois AAUP's annual meeting on Saturday. If you want more details and are interested in coming to that, you can pick up Illinois Academe or talk to me later. But that is another area where you have graduate students and many of the most elite universities being denied this fundamental right to unionize. And in some ways, I try and make the argument that some universities are worse than Walmart. Walmart, for all of its evils in terms of labor relations, at least has never openly and publicly said that its workers don't have the right to unionize. They've done everything they can to successfully to crush any unionization movements, but they never actually come out and said, our employees don't have the right to unionize, which is something fundamentally different from what a lot of universities do. And this was another Supreme Court case in the 1980s, the case of Yeshiva, which basically eliminated all labor organizing by faculty at private universities since then. And because it was done on the justification that because of shared governance, because faculty have some role in the decision-making of the university, therefore faculty are managers and they can't unionize. And so you have this real irony that everything that the faculty and the AUP has done to try and bring democratic institutions to to universities through shared governance was then turned against them and used as a way to deny their fundamental rights to unionize. So, and I want to keep my remarks short because I want to give the other speakers a chance to speak, and we want to hear from you and hear your ideas about this. But I want to emphasize that in terms of making this kind of fight for the rights of free speech, for the right to unionize, for that very much shared and interlinked battle, that you don't have to just rely on the courts and the politicians. And I'm glad to see that there are some very active students and faculty on this campus who are trying to change things internally, because it's important to understand that just because a court rules against you or just because a politician passes a law, you don't have to sit and take it. You don't have to wait until they're up for re-election. It really is possible, particularly within a university, to try and change the internal policies. And that's fundamental because really there's nothing preventing a university from acting in a democratic way or even from recognizing informally a union, whether they're allowed, required to under the law or not. It's simply a choice of the administration to participate in shared governance and to listen to what the faculty and the students have to say. And it's equally a choice of the students and faculty and the employees of whether they're going to come together and speak out on these issues. And one of the things that I think it's important for all universities to do is to try and create policies that recognize these fundamental rights, to go through the university system and say, we want to have these fundamental rights of students, these fundamental rights of faculty, the fundamental right of everyone on a college campus to speak freely and to the right to unionize, and to put that into the university code. And of course, the administration is not likely to be too sympathetic to that, but it is certainly possible for student governments, for faculty senates, for united groups of all, both of those and employees on campus to say, we're going to stand up. These are the rights we want. These are the rights that we deserve to have, and put the administrations of American higher education in the position of saying no. Instead of responding to a crisis where a university proposes a bad policy on free speech and tries to impose censorship, what we should be doing is creating our own good policies that defend freedom of speech, that defend academic freedom, that defend the right to unionize, and put the administration on the defensive and force them to refuse to protect free speech, to force them to say we're against academic freedom, to say that we don't want anyone to have the right to unionize. And that, I think, is a fundamental way of changing the conversation, the way these things are framed, that we need to do. And I'm glad to see that so many of you at NEIU are working to do that. Thank you very much.